John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by American Tackle Angler Products, makers of the Lemon Glacier, the Goldenrod, the Fire Brick, the Bleached Almond, and my favorite, the Cilantro Killer. These are the American Tackle Pro Staff Rattling Shrimp. Don't hit any coastline water without these in your tackle box. And if you are a bass fisherman in the southwestern Ohio area, you do not want to go without the American Tackle Pro Staff Bushido Square Bills. Right now, the Ghost Gill is on fire. Check them out at AmericanTackleAnglerProducts.com.
Poochie is on loose. What's up, Brandon Palmer?
What's up, John?
Have I ever said that? Yeah, well, sure I have. Brandon Palmer's like the classic fishing name. Is that intentional? Is that a stage name?
Dude,
Brandon. Is your real name like Mike Sears or something like that?
Brandon Polinick and I have the same initials.
Yeah.
BMP.
Yeah.
Or no, this is my bad. This is BMP. Never mind. That was a misfire, but you know.
Brandon Paula Newick.
There you go.
They got a
De Palma.
A Brian De Palma.
Yeah, so now they got a Brian Thrift.
Yeah, he's MLF.
I like Brian Thrift.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Brian Thrift from Fitzgerald Fishing. Yeah. By golly.
I like Thrift.
I do like Thrift.
They just wrapped up on Oahu.
They just did.
Today, South Dakota.
Right.
Austin Felix.
You're kind of dialed in on that stuff, aren't you?
I follow it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I need to. I don't know why I don't.
I follow. I mean, I watch it all day. I just turn it on live, and I mean, I'll either listen to it, or if I'm in the garage, I'll have it up on my, you know, playing in there, or on my iPad. Just, I'm always listening to it.
Right.
I just, especially when they get in these smallmouth tournaments.
Yeah.
Gosh, they just get
you love this
dialed in on them.
See, I don't have TV or anything like that, so
you
I can't
it on your
watch
phone.
It
on your phone.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's probably, I think that's why we'll make a good podcast pair.
Yeah,
because we're sort of like the Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah,
I'll be color commentary, and you know the facts.
There we go.
That's good. So, what's up, everybody? Hey, John Graves Kayak Fishing. It's going to be John and Brandon's kayak fishing here, wherever that may have. But, so what's new? What have you been fishing?
I heard something today on, I think, Lee Livesey and Caleb, was it Summerall? Okay, they was talking about these oil slicks that they have, that they'll see out on the surface of the water. Have you ever noticed one? Maybe it doesn't even have to be like pre-spawn, like when they're really chomping food on the bait. The shad get destroyed so savagely that the skin, the oil from their skin, create an oil slick from these big bait balls.
Wow.
And that's like those fish are like actively in that area just smashing bait. I didn't ever know that. Think back in your mind, have you ever seen anything that resembled an oil? He called it an oil slick, and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And I listened, I'm like, oh my God. Because
that's interesting, because I've definitely been around activity where you think that would be happening.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really seen oil.
Because it'll look like
it makes sense,
oil
man.
Slick on the surface of like, it could. I've seen them various sizes, but I don't know what I thought it was. I sure as hell didn't think it was from that.
Just like dumping a big jar of spikic.
Yeah.
Just shocker the surface.
Here I am, I'll drive through them and I'll like slap my rod through it and be stupid. When there's probably fish there.
Look at that dumbass in his mercury outboard. Leaking all over the place.
Shit. You're full.
You know? No, that's I'll be looking, you know.
Yes.
I'll look next time. Now where was this at though?
South Dakota. I don't remember the town exactly where they had the weigh-in, but Oahu is...
Where in the hell they fish at in South Dakota?
It's part of the Missouri River. It's got, like 8,000 miles of shoreline or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like almost 300,000 acres
of smallmouth were stubborn though on this one. They were being stubborn. It was just one of those deals, I guess.
It's a windy one, man.
It was whipping windy. All day too. Bad.
Right on.
They said it was gonna be bad, but it wasn't as bad as what I've seen them go through up on either St. Clair or the Lawrence.
They're just riding the bows of those boats, just up.
Their
trolling
motors are blasting way up out of the air.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
That'd be kind of rough. It wasn't as wild as they've had before.
Can you just like kind of grip strap your feet to the bow of that thing? Just, that probably wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
Good Lord, have mercy.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Looks fine. So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. I'll look at that next time. I won't blame it on that shitty outboard that just went riding by.
Going like 8,000 RPM and doing like 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, just blowing out.
Blowing out oil. Like, doesn't have a prop.
Oh my God. You know, I used to long for that day of having a boat, like a 14 foot or a 16 foot. You know, aluminum boat, but I'm really glad that I found a kayak before that.
I know, right?
Because I would have wrestled around with one of those, and as romantic as they are, you know, and as useful as they are a lot of work
and money.
They are, well, yeah. I mean, you got to keep up on that. Yeah. That little outboard costs some money. They don't last.
Right.
You got to take it into the shop every couple years or so. You know, and that's, you know, a few $100
here and there. I mean, parts start flying off, and then you got to replace that. You got to keep maintenance up on it. Then you're going to want to upgrade everything, and then it's going to just keep going and going and going. And what's the thing we upgrade most on kayaks, I guess? Other than, I don't know.
You know, putting a motor on them, putting electronics on them, and that kind of stuff like that, which would sometimes cost more than the actual kayak itself.
Yes.
But let me ask you this. Have you ever, what is it that you have busted on your kayak more than anything?
On the Hobie?
If anything. Just by normal use.
I don't have anything that I've broken. I've added to it. Little extra H-bar up in the front. Honestly, I've never broken anything on it. Oh, actually, that's a lie.
Uh-oh.
My drive.
Your drive?
Yeah, I replaced my drive. That's the only thing I've had to do, but I mean, it's kind of a, I don't want to say common thing, but...
Now, what was it that you had to replace?
Everything.
The bearings nasty or
the
something?
Clutch.
Just went nuts on it?
Yeah, the belt.
The whole cartridge.
When you got that tension in your belt and you start to lose that tension, you go one way with your 360 and then you crank it back to go there and it pinches and folds that belt.
Yeah.
So it's done when that happens.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're talking to 360.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. A whole different beast.
Oh, man.
Man.
But I mean, that thing is, I haven't really banged up on it, but I mean, I'm more than happy with it.
Right.
You know?
Would you do 360 again?
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
It's just...
Is it one of those things that once you go there, you ain't coming back from?
Pretty much.
You wouldn't. You know.
Especially if you've been in a lot of the other ones. And now there's riverboats and there's, you know, and I hope it goes down the line of where your comfort level is, as well as knowledge-wise. Knowing how something's going to, you know, maneuver and turn. And like, some boats track worse than others. Like... some of the boats I've had in the past.
Right.
And Hobie's just consistent.
Right.
Drive or pedal.
Yes. I love my Mirage.
And they're safe, too. And that's what I preach about the most. I trust that thing with my life. I have. Like, the deal that happened to me up on St. Clair, I'll never forget that. It was full of water. And I was still able to get back.
Was that water
in
coming
monsoon.
Into it from just...
when I left the boat plugs out.
Yes.
Don't
forget the plugs.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and set myself up for failure right now. Yeah, it was out there.
So that happened almost immediately.
It was, when I launched it, it was already happening.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got a load on the back of that kayak.
I pack lighter now. When I go up there, I don't load it down as much. I did have my lithium on the I keep it right on the back side of my chair, so yeah. It's kind of distributed weight wise. And I mean, I wasn't as heavy as I usually am, thank goodness. But still, it still did the trick.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I wasn't heavier.
So
crazy.
How soon did you notice that? And how soon
did
you
say? As
soon
as I got out there, I knew something was wrong. I was like, man, why is it like a drop a potato in a sink full of water?
Yeah.
And how it just bobs.
Yeah.
And just kind of, I thought it was weird because I've had boat like water get in the from St. Clair before, so I knew that feeling when your boat starts to get heavy, it doesn't want to turn and maneuver. And as soon as I got there, it was the worst I'd ever felt. And I was like, then the light bulb went off. Dude, I had just got, it took me like 2 hours to get out there from the wind.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it hit me, so I threw all my shit out from behind my chair, laid it down and got back there and like, thank God the drain plugs have a little anti, I don't know, so you don't lose them.
Right.
And they were both hanging out, so I just.
My God. Right,
and then when I was laid back there on it, that's even more weight too.
Oh, that's one of my question is that thing just bow must have been look like the Titanic.
There was water in the floorboard, stain. It wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
Like where the drive hole is.
Right.
Yeah, I have staining water like where the rod holders are.
Right.
And all those rod holders were full of water.
Oh my God.
It sucked, dude.
So
tell me any other manufacturer that you could be up like I may have been screwed.
So that Hobie's gonna stick up. There's gonna be a part of that Hobie that's gonna stay up, and most likely it's at the bow where the it's
I don't
the
think
light,
you can sink right? one.
Right.
I really don't. The way that they're laid out and they're so wide and the insides of them are so big, I don't think you can sink
right.
one.
You got those styrofoam inserts, yep. right? Those help. Is that yep. what the hell do those things do? Help keeping it from drowning.
It's to keep the floor from like when it gets hot and that plastic okay. gets hot, it keeps it from flexing.
Okay, gotcha.
Under your ass, you know, so because people sit there a lot,
right?
And those floors of those Hobies are all lined for that okay. for that reason.
Very nice. It's yeah.
You learn something new every day.
And they're all under the footing of it too, to keep like when you stand, because you can stand up on a Hobie,
right.
obviously, with ease. So,
well, they would have to help with buoyancy in some way.
Oh yeah, they keep it, they balance it too. They're the same diameter and shape as they are on one side or the other.
Right. So at least they should.
They're up in the gunnels too. I didn't say a thing about that. They're all, they got those gunnels stuffed with the same stuff. Some of it's white though.
Yeah.
Still styrofoam.
Right. Well, there you go. Yeah, that would be sucky. So what'd you do? Just bail it out there
I
and
had
stay
to.
Out there?
Yeah,
just...
I made the call to go back in.
Yeah.
I had to, man. It was because I was taking water over this front and side.
Yeah, now it's
down. Now, you're starting to get into safety.
Fast.
Like bad. You know, I already knew what I was sitting on was a Hobie balloon. You know, and I was like, my drive would barely turn me around.
Right.
So taking a foot and a half to almost 2 footers, that's
right.
That's stupid.
Okay, so kayak being the demographic that's just absolutely exploding. Let me just throw out the $1 million 2023 product of the year right now. I'm just gonna give somebody the idea and you can run with it. I just don't have the time for this stuff. Man, a long time ago, when I about douched mine down on the Ohio River with Kurt Smith. If Kurt Smith wasn't there, I'd probably drown.
Really?
Yeah, it was, we're cruising along, got his Torquia, I was pulling those along. And I got my leg just comfortably up on his kayak, and he's giving me a ride. We're just going side by side. I guess you could say I was riding kind of Maid Marian, you know?
Right.
And just kind of hanging on. Kurt's telling me fantastic fishing stories. I'm just digging it. And I'm not paying attention because I'm just hanging out with Kurt Smith, national champion. And he looks in and goes, hey man, what's up with your kayak? And I look down and it's filled with water. And the moment I let go, which was a mistake, the moment I let go, boy, that push, it dug in.
Yeah.
And man, the stern came up on me that time.
Wow.
The bow dove in the water. And I came back up. He grabbed me, pulled me up onto the bank there, And it took both me and him to lift that Hobie up. It was so filled with water.
Same thing or different issue?
Different issue. We pulled the plugs out to drain it. That's when we're trying to lift that. It had to have been 300 pounds of water in there. Oh. And we're just doing our best to lift it to get it slowly draining. There's only so much water can come out.
Right.
And then if you got a bunch of like rags and tissues down in there, maybe some wipies or maybe some baits.
It's like a little septic tank.
And it's just clogging up, right? And you got to call one Tom plumber.
Sticking sticks up in there.
No, like, it's horrible. So
root it.
That's happening. And so, but the problem was I wasn't paying attention. And with that speed he was going on that Torquedo, water was coming up over onto my port side and splashing down into a crack that was down at the bottom of my rod hole, insert rod holders.
You said, here, I'll just let go.
I'll just let go.
Submarine it. Like,
it was like a Rapala diver. Just a deep diver. DT, you know, just went down.
Oh, God.
Boom!
Terrible.
And I was like, whoa! Oh, my God. So
was all your stuff floating everywhere?
Kurt, no, everything was cool. Everything was cool. We saved everything. Kurt was there. He probably, you know, doesn't understand. He saved my life that night, but he did. The moment he said, dude, what's up with your kayak?
Just voluntarily kick your foot off of there. And that's like the thing you didn't want to do and had no idea.
No. So here's my thought. Okay, here's my little... We get out there in these kayaks, especially, let's just say the Hobie design, you got the Hobie A-Trail. The A-Trail's right there. You got all kinds of stuff you can put on those A-Trails, right? We have these inflatable jackets that are water activated. You can rain on them all day long, and you can get them splashed on, and they can get wet and mildewy and all that, but... they can't get hot and mildewy. Them some bitches will explode in a heartbeat.
Will they?
But yeah. But if they get wet or damp or something like that, overnight trip or something, laying out, all that stuff, they have to be submerged. They have to be in that water for a moment of time. And then they pop open.
Pressurized.
Right?
Right.
Is that what it's the pressure of it?
Yeah, it's like when you submerge it, you know, if you try
it's
to
not
sink,
much pressure,
sink a basketball,
right.
It puts pressure.
Right.
It's your body.
Right.
I don't know if you throw them. I don't think if you throw them in the water, I don't think they'll go off.
Right. Well.
I should try them.
Well, they do.
Do they?
And it's funny because I had just been talking to my buddy over at East Fork Lake. We were pulling our kayaks up out of the water, and there was this family down there fishing off of the dock. And I just dropped it right in the water. Just
like
it,
here,
just dropped
this,
it.
They won't
yeah.
go. Oh,
it
just by accident?
Yeah, it just dropped it in the water. And that thing went, boom, man, the moment it hit the water. Which impressed me, right? So it doesn't take much water. It sunk a little bit, you know. Having said that, man, why not have a little pack on that, one on each side of your H-rail there, that has a charge in it. That if you, that Hobie is in the water that much and it is desperate, those things are going to pop up.
Are you saying a little emergency?
You're just emergency buoyancy for your kayak.
I'll tell you what.
To help bring that, to help keep it from capsizing. You got some big floaters.
And that's the thing,
like
when those
that.
Rollers are hitting you from the side and you've already got all that water.
Yeah.
It just takes you just a, I don't know if it would happen. I'm sure it could happen. But when that water in the bottom goes to one side because then you get hit on that same side, you're definitely going to go.
I would much rather, in that situation, even though the Hobie would do its job, I would much rather have the assurance of a couple things that I can spend $20 on the cartridge. I'll be more than happy right now to spend $40 to keep this kayak afloat and get me back home. Right. So yeah. Even if you manually pop those things,
you know, a third person company can make them and sell them. So
there you go.
It's a good idea, though.
Yeah, I think so. Keep all your stuff. Who wants to lose their stuff?
Put one on the bottom of a catch board. damn it. Those things are boat anchors.
A little tiny.
Yeah, just a little charge on the bottom of it, like son of a bitch. Those things sink fast, dude.
They do.
I mean, I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I was... You ever throw a rock way up in the air, and it goes... Foom.
And it's in.
Then it boils. Oh. That's what my catchboard did.
Oh, there's... Dude, it had no leash on.
No.
Oh, I was hot.
It's like... And I had just gotten it. It's like, well, that's definitely... Going from those plastic... To those, yeah. I mean, the plastics ones.
I loved them. Light,
a little loud, but I mean, they were good.
Right.
I mean, I never bent my board.
Right.
Which I never even thought of that.
You're the genius.
Yeah. It's like, dude.
Oh, I got another thing I'm going to talk to you about. Well, maybe we'll bring this up separately. But while we're on that subject of losing things, boy, what a great segue. At Strictly Sail and Kayak, they just don't sell sailboats and rigging and kayaks. If you walk into that place, tell me, they got some stuff, don't they?
It's all accessories.
Man.
Batteries amazing. To the left.
Yeah.
Pulleys straight ahead. Oh, every Hobie accessory you can think of to the right.
Sean Skidmore's Angler of the Year belt.
Yeah.
It's what do you
be,
think?
It's going to be a close one.
And then Melissa, where's Melissa at?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
So, speaking of accessories and what they have there at Strictly Sail, located in Blue Ash, Ohio on Kenwood Road, they've been there since 1978, is the Rogue Fishing Company. Look at this. How about the phone tether? Have you used one of these?
Yeah, I gave it to my daughter. I'm not a fan.
What?
Yeah, I just wasn't a fan of... What did you I didn't know where to keep about? It because I couldn't stick it in my pocket because every time I pull out my pocket, I would always rip the corners of it
right.
and peel out of it. So
right.
I wish I had a place to set the phone
yes.
versus letting it flop on the floor.
That's where this,
that's the only reason
that's
I didn't
where
like
that
it.
Comes in handy. Yeah. So like I'll mount my phone, but I'm telling you what, there's so many different ways that I've tried to mount up this phone and do the video from it because I like doing the Facebook Lives and stuff.
Yeah.
It scares you to death.
What?
Putting a phone over top of the water or,
well, yeah.
or something like that without it. I've lost two phones already. So, it wasn't until I got the Rogue Fishing Company, the protector, the phone tether right here. And you can pick this up at Strictly Sail and Kayak if you're in the area.
Fully in stock of them.
Man, they have a lot. This, right now, I can breathe easy. And I'm actually catching more fish because I can concentrate more. I'm not losing my phone. Catch more fish. Speaking of fish, did you see that big old beauty I brought out?
Of what?
Uh-huh. On a stone lick?
Uh-uh.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. Bless America.
What'd you catch it on?
A green pumpkin Yamamoto Senko with a 3/0 Sharpenite American tackle hook. That's it. That lure costs maybe 21 cents.
Yeah, right now is the best time to be using those Senkos. Like, it's for me, personally. It's the only time of the year I'll usually throw them hardcore.
It was a beauty. I'll have to show you the
good
video.
For you.
She was Spike. So let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about a couple things. There's
let's do
something
it.
Very interesting. I think it's going to really affect judging. So it's my question I have to you. I may be the first to talk about it because soon, if it would no doubt be so controversial if this is actually true. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Can't wait.
Rock and roll.
John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by Little Miami Outfitters. So back in 2018, Little Miami Outfitters had this dream. They were determined to develop and construct the most trusted all-around fishing rod in the industry, right? That's a big, big goal. There's a lot of competition out there. But first and foremost, you have to understand your product. You have to know the business. But your most important foundation you have to be built on is the primary goal of satisfying the customer. And at Little Miami Outfitters, they understand the importance of the quality and that if you, the customer, are happy with the purchase of their pro-level fishing rods, they've done the job correctly. Dedicated business to work hard, making the customer the number one priority as they continue to grow LMO into a leading fishing tackle supplier and lifestyle brand. Check them out, littlemiamioutfitters.com.
So what is that 10 ton? What's that taste like?
Piss.
Is it bad?
Dude, this one's worse than that one.
Oh no, is it?
It's a stout.
Oh,
oatmeal stout, but I'm sticking this one.
Can I have a sip of it?
Yeah, go ahead. It's good, but I mean,
it doesn't smell as bad as that one.
Hop beer is, there's something to it versus a stout.
Oh, oof.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so, I mean, beer drinking is not for everybody.
No, it's not.
Nor should it be.
But when you go to a Cubs game and you go to the Cubby Bear and you start drinking whatever diarrhea serum that they're pouring through those taps and they fill your cup up with, I think it's like real cheap beer. I don't remember what it's called. You get a headache and the runs, so
Is more than the Cubs.
Because yeah, I mean, it's just awful what they do to you up there. Feed you like boiled hot dogs and make you drink that stuff. Come on, man.
Hey, well, they got $2 beer night now. It's the Cyclone Games.
Really?
So I think it's on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I don't know. It used to be $1 beer night. They had there's inflation.
Never seen the Cyclones. Have you?
No.
Why'd you bring that up?
I heard it on the radio, just thought I'd pass it on. There might be some hockey fans out there.
You never know.
You just don't know who's listening.
Get around.
Okay, so I had mentioned that I had something a little controversial. And we were talking about next week. So the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing Group has this fantastic bunch of events throughout the whole year. And next week is the Flowing Waters. I have no idea. Brandon's telling me of some place where he think he might go. But it is, I didn't know it was Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana.
Yeah, so you can go anywhere on a public moving water ramp. That water has to be a river, a trib, but it's got to be on a public spot.
Someplace accessible.
Yeah, and you
can't be your buddy's backyard.
Can't be driving through cornfields and saying, hey, I belong here. No.
Now, what about the chance that I took, which was throwing it up over a fence at a baseball park?
Where was this at? When did this happen? Come on, man. You got to tell me. I just love it. I find something out just more.
So what you're saying, that probably wasn't a legal place in
Washington. Oh, yeah. Well, you just told on yourself.
Well, it's okay. I didn't catch anything from there. Right? I went to a public place and then I caught something.
But I risked it.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was public accessible. It's a public park.
Did they keep out?
No.
Yeah.
No. And the fence was just a little line that kept, I think, kids and people from walking over a much steeper cliff. But they had it all manicured, mowed, a little path going down that way. And it looked like some fishermen had walked down there with their poles and stuff. But it was 4:50 a.m. and I just threw my stuff up over the little line and drug it down.
They're probably all nice and quiet here. You come with a kayak,
right?
Throwing it over there.
Right? But the bad thing was that, you know, unfortunately, I didn't really get the lay of the land. There was a lot of thick grass down there, so you really didn't know what you were stepping in on.
Mm.
And I had wore it all down going back and forth. And my last trip down was the Faithful, where I just hit my butt and slid the rest of the way down, bracing for ankle deep water. Because I was going in. But it was like chest deep water with a little slight current.
Is this what just happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. All that.
Yeah, that was wicked. And that was all that before it even started. So
yeah, it's flowing water.
Yes.
Any state. It's just got to be a public use area.
Right.
You know, where you take launch from and take out. But
right. Which, when we're talking public use, we're probably not talking what I just described I did. We're talking more like a ramp of some sort or a canoe access
right.
point like down there in Milford, Old Town Milford.
Did you open that app that I sent you, the Go Paddling? You pull this app up and it gives you GPS coordinates of just punch in where you're going.
Right.
And pull it, like there's a big map and it's all these red dots.
Yeah.
Just zoom in and that's Those are all the public take-in and take-outs wherever you want to go in the entire country. It's so useful, man.
That's you know what? I went to download that. My phone was refreshing.
Yeah, so make sure you do it. Seriously, no matter what
state. What is that called again?
Go Paddling.
Go Paddling.
Yes.
Well, you sent it to me, a link.
Yeah.
Didn't you? What's that say?
I was ready.
We don't
you
care.
You are set up for the
monthly care. Monthly Apple Pay thing come bouncing up. See, the phone's still going through a refresh.
But it's always nice to have that app because in case you need to set up a takeout and you need to know exactly where to tell your ride to pick you up.
Yeah.
Boom. You hit that marker and then you can share that location with someone. It's pretty nifty, man. It really is.
And nice.
And
yes.
It lets you know how far you're going because you can measure the distance.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a very useful tool.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, from 20,000, 30,000 feet up, it looks...
Right. And that's a good thing to send someone just in case they want to know where you're at just for safety reasons. Something happens. Here's where I'm putting in. This is where you can expect me. So, you know, so be it.
Oh, shoot. If your significant other was a realtor...
There you go.
And they were out in the middle of, you know, Kentucky, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so looking at some, you know, bi-level multifamily.
Right.
With a questionable client. They can send you coordinates. I'm right here. But you know what else? So does my Sonata Hyundai Blue. It's got her safe. That thing lets me know exactly what's going on. It's amazing. It's like Kit from, what was that show? Midnight.
Knight Rider?
Knight Rider, yes. Don't hassle the Hoff.
Man, those dudes were so hairy. Him and that Tom Selleck dude from, what was that the show? He was a red Lamborghini or Ferrari, whatever it was.
Oh, Magnum P.I.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, the dudes were hairy.
Right. You know? That is the best ever. That was one show. I'm still watching Rockford Files on a daily basis almost.
Who?
Jim Rockford.
I don't know who that is.
All right, the Rockford Files.
Never seen it.
Never seen driving that little gold Firebird.
I'd have to double back and take a look, but I don't think.
He was the best. He was a player.
That might be out of my time.
He was a player. How old are you?
44.
You're 44?
Yeah.
Ah, damn, man. You're just
my ear cuts off like million dollar man. Some bitch would jump over a fence, but come on, dude. It's like one of those national forest parks that's got like a 10-foot fence with the razor wire all over it. He just jumps over top of it. That's when I stopped believing, man. I saw stuff like that.
This is some $6 million legs.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I know, you're white, too. You can't do that.
No. Right. So, speaking of technology, okay, this is the controversial thing that I want to talk to you. We may be, I've never really heard anybody say anything about it. It would make no sense to me how it could be done and why it should be done. But as a result of my iPhone now being updated, I can, when looking through my picture history, I'll look at a photo and underneath it, you got the icons of the trash can, which is the obvious. And then the edit, mm-hmm. other things like that, right? Or the play, right? If it's a video. But it also has an information button.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you seen that?
On the new download or the update?
On the photos themselves.
Yeah.
Where it says information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant. So I went, what does information mean? So information, I went right to information. And it shows me the exact GPS location of where I caught the fish, which is cool, which is what the judges see.
Right.
Right. And the time at which, and the date at which I did it.
It stamps it.
Yes. You can adjust that. Did you know that? You can change the date and location.
It says it right there on the picture, the bottom right, adjust. And it says it on the time and the date.
Okay, so I tried it and I started to sweat, dude. And I immediately thought, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, I just changed the date on it.
If it is as easy as doing that, that is going to put a monkey wrench into all of online judging fish.
Did this just happen?
I've never seen that before.
I knew there was an information button to give you like a timestamp, but I never did notice the adjust.
Why would you need to do that?
It kind of screws up our platform.
But why would you need to do... Oh, no, honey, that was the party that we had, you know, when we were all together. We weren't in Miami then.
Yo.
You know, what's that... Why would you need to do that?
So pictures do lie.
If it's as easy as that...
You can change the location and the time in this opening. I didn't know that. Hopefully there's something within... Yeah, because they accept the picture that you send, but... Say you went out and caught fish week before, and you were on them. I mean, just hammering it, like laying into them.
Yeah.
Same conditions, same light, same boat.
You take your pictures.
You keep
them.
Yeah.
And then come tournament day, you adjust.
I hope there's something we're missing. I hope there's not something.
I pray.
There's a permanent. I mean, you and I are thinking. I mean, just like bending a board, who does that? But it does happen. So
that was the first thing I thought, was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, immediately that put up like a red flag to me. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because I was like, oh, I caught that fish at Stone Lake. Okay. Mm-hmm. Adjust. What does that mean? And when I hit it, I was like, suddenly you could change the day, the time. You can change... the location, which is even scarier.
Yeah, that is pretty scary.
I can catch him in my front yard,
and I hope that, and maybe
that
something from the maybe something from the app. They'll make you start taking a picture from the app, because maybe in that app you can't do that. So
that would have to happen.
I mean, you've got to do something like that, because this can't happen. This can't work.
No.
They need to mandate. They need to update that damn app then, and stop having... Well, Fishing Chaos is kind of like an eighth grader developed that one. I can't stand it. It's just, it's crazy. But Tourney X, I mean, you'd have to.
Yeah, they're the platinum of that judging. I mean, they kind of... That hit me the raw. That was like, wow, wait a minute. But that, I was also thinking of CSI weird shit too, you know? Like murder scenes.
Because if you jack with it before you send it to someone, there's no way of them knowing when that was actually taken or done, or...
They're just going by the date that it comes in.
They should have put something like... something that shows it's been altered or something on the picture, you know what I mean? Like a red dot or something like...
What would... It just befuddles me. What would be the reason that Apple would... Or any phone... Is that an Apple right there?
Yeah.
So it's an Apple thing.
Yeah, CEO was like...
So now we're going to have to not... We can't use Apple products.
Now your pictures can't be trusted. No one's pictures can be trusted.
Nothing can be trusted anymore.
Ever. You hear that, phone?
Nothing.
Watch.
See, we're busting open conspiracies.
We'll pull up Amazon here in a second, and they'll pull up books on trust for advertising.
Oh my gosh.
That sucks, man.
Wow. You know who you can trust? American Tackle Angler Products.
Hey!
You can trust. Man, trust them down there. They're going to get the stuff shipped out to you. They have it in stock. You know, they're turning over to retail products right now. Have you ever used any of the Bushido products?
No, I talked to Don about it. Actually, I spoke with him on the phone last week and said that I'd like to get some of those this winter to kind of build on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you talked about the blanks?
Yes, sir.
The Bushido blanks.
Yeah.
Right? So how about the Bushido crankbaits?
Nothing. I've never fished with a lure from American Tackle.
Man, you know you can now.
Yeah, I didn't.
And there's a lot of them to choose from.
I honestly didn't know.
They got one called the Rattling Shrimp.
The Rattling Shrimp?
Yes.
Does it work?
You know, oh, yeah, man. You know, not that I'm out there catching reds all the time. But
hey, I'm going to Texas in November. I'll take some with me.
You need Rattling Shrimp.
Yeah.
They look just like shrimp.
Do they rattle?
They do have rattling in there. But more importantly, these little glowing eyes that they got, right?
Yeah.
The first thing that those fish will adapt to, or what they do, is they bite their eyes of these shrimp. It just enables them not to do anything. So they're going at the eyes. And when they do that on all the other lures, they bite those eyes off, right? So you'll tend to lose your eyes. Well, these eyes on these rattling shrimp on the American tackle, right? Some damn things, they're just pulling on them. They're like moles on your skin. You just want to pull on it and just pull on it, just go, it pops right back to you. But very effective. Nice weight to them, nice balance so they fall into the water column really nice.
So the buoyancy is pretty,
yes,
pretty good on them.
Check them out. American Tackle, anglerproducts.com. A lot of other stuff. They got a lot of good reel.
I didn't know they sold fluoro.
Yes. Bushido.
Yes. They sell clothing.
Yes, they got a fine line of t-shirts, clothing, hats.
And they're their own entity. They don't sell anyone else's stuff. That's what I like about them.
No.
You're not going to find anything 6 cents. You're not going to find anything other than what they have. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They've got enough to fill it up.
Yes.
Is what's even better.
Everything you want.
Yeah.
If you just fell to the planet Earth right there in Oviedo, Florida, and walked into
there. They need to get those crankbaits and all their tackle out on shelves. What do you think about that?
In retail.
Yeah, because I didn't even... I think I did see the lures in there when I was looking a few months ago. This was 7 months ago, actually. But I never bid on it because I just kind of forgot about it.
Right.
Truthfully. I was on there looking for components. And looking at the components,
right.
That's when I realized what I was looking at.
Right.
I was like, oh. But my mind was already going towards what I was in there for. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's... I they would look good on retail shelves.
Oh, yeah.
They got a really cool design. The red, white, and blue, the American Tackle, the Pro Staff. Cool design, and hopefully that'll happen. You know? And then, you know, I think when really the gears that roll through ICAST that make the fishing industry work, when we're talking now retail, talking about, you know, that show is everything else is so dependent on that show to drive the dollars through the not just the professional fishing industry, but the non-professional fishing industry. And American Tackle, you know, if you're a rod builder, you are pretty much aware of American Tackle and who they are. That's an older institution in a way, although the retail public doesn't necessarily know who American Tackle is. So with their introduction to the new retail line, the crankbaits, the fluorocarbons, the braids, the terminal tackle, such as the hooks, the cutters that they have, the tools and accessories, the boxes, the backpacks, the hats, the t-shirts, and the complete rod combos from spin casting to bait casting. Combos, literally, you could just walk in the door and walk out with everything American Tackle.
I'll be truthfully honest, I'm kind of upset I don't even have, like, at least a hat, but I don't want the tall bill ones. I like not the real tall trucker hats. I'm not crazy about those.
Uh-huh. So is that like the team American Tackle, red, white, and blue one?
Yeah, that or a t-shirt. I'm kind of upset I don't.
Do you like the gravy? The washed out? It's called the gravy.
I like that. Huh? That's pimp. Like, they have a color called the gravy.
It's pre-washed. It's the pre-washed denim look, kind of faded out, which all angler hats end up looking like that if you actually use them. So
yeah.
So that's the gravy. And then we got the old school, this one like this, but you probably...
I'll have to go and check it out.
You're not a flat brim guy either, are you? You're
no.
not a pimpin' hat guy?
No.
Really? Have you ever seen what that crew cut you got?
Nope.
Will you put that on for me so I can see it?
Yeah, I look like a tool.
Let me see it. Hold on. This is the American Tackle flat brim. This is the more urbans, you know? Yeah. And only if... Dude, I think you look gangster.
No, dude, I look like a straight participant from Make-A-Wish Foundation. Right there.
You can't need like a teardrop. You can't tell me no different. Coming from your face.
My old school football jersey on it.
I don't know, man. I can see it. No, kind of, you got a fun attitude, and you know you kind of got a Rob Deerdick attitude.
No, I can't.
Wear it backwards.
I can't mess with
it. Put it on backwards.
I like what they call them dad hats. Just they fit your head, your skull. They don't pop up and give you like.
Right. Yes.
I look like a 12-year-old skateboard punk, dude. That's what I feel like. I feel like a shithead.
If you had some bands on, too, we'd fix you up with some bands, man.
I'm going to do an ollie. Hold this.
That's great. Yeah, I understand. So, yeah, probably, I mean, that hat fits pretty good like that.
Yeah.
It's not, we do have a black American Tackle pro staff hat that is in a trucker style that is big, got a big old huge head. A lot of headroom on that one, you know, but
so
there you go.
With that aside, yes. I think it's time to let it out. You gotta get it out there.
You mean news?
The big news. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have known about it, but you've never really talked to me a whole ton. You just told me it was possibly gonna, it could possibly happen.
Yes. So it's pretty official. And I say pretty official because we just haven't made that move yet here, you know, and then there's a lot of hurdles to get over before that happens. But long story short, boy, I have been absolutely blessed with an opportunity from American Tackle to relocate down there and joined the team. To handle some of this retail introduction there at the headquarters. So I have to be there at the brick and mortar, which they happen to have a retention pond behind it, by the way, which is a bonus.
I can get my fix in.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And be working down there with Captain Mo, with the American Tackle Pro staff, which throughout the world where there's a lot of them. So reaching out to all of them. And then working with Kevin, the marketing director down there, at some shows, doing some travel, working with some of the American Tackle in focus, some of the video. That is sort of like in a nutshell what I would be doing down there with American Tackle. But having said that, I'm gonna lose my freaking mind, man. I cannot believe it's happening. I'm going to be like a kid in a candy shop.
You became a teammate, like committed teammate for everything you've hyped yourself up on. I mean, it came true for you. I think you're going to be a star.
Positive. Stay positive.
Yeah. You just said that in your...
Stay positive.
Your video. Yeah, I think I'm happy for you for sure. I think it's going to be... They couldn't have picked a better dude as far as what you do, what you bring, what you're gonna solve, what you're gonna fix, what you're gonna be able to bring up and start something different.
Oh boy.
Your mind, how fast it moves. I mean, it's a good grab for them, for sure.
And sometimes it moves a little too fast for some people.
Tap the brakes.
And then too slow for others.
Yeah. As soon as they find out, they finally catch on to it. It's like, that's like old news, dude. And here's John just pumping out content, doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh my God. But, okay, so.
How does that make you feel, first of all? How does it make you feel knowing that that's what someone actually sees in you when they see you? Because you don't hear a lot of people looking at, you know, social networking, and at least I've never met anyone that's what they really want you for. Because that's how big, and that's what's driving the industry of what we're involved in, what we like, and they clearly see that. How does that make you feel?
Amazing. How amazing. It makes me feel, it's almost indescribable, actually. And I'm still kind of overwhelmed by it in a big way, because it is going to be a massive change in my life.
Is it almost like, is this really true? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Like you believe it when you get down there, kind of thing. Like this is it.
Yeah. But having said that, okay, I knew early on, and I want to
put this out to others that are into social media and stuff like that. Kids, especially kids that are out there and grinding it. You're like, man, you know, you have these massive hopes of being a professional fisherman, as we all do. Almost as if that's the only pathway there is existing into this massive world of fishing, mm-hmm. where there's so many things going on, and it's a massive machine. I didn't recognize that. I was just having fun, posting pictures, staying away from the negative, anything negative. Every once in a while, I'd find myself dipping into negativity, and I'd actually delete those posts out. To keep everything clean, stay away from politics, stay away from religion, stay away from everything negative. If you couldn't say something positive, don't say it at all. And I kept that up for a couple years in the beginning. Why? Because it was just fun for me to do. And I was just simply catching bass out of my pond. This is long before I was into kayak fishing.
Right.
So I'm just going out catching fish out of the pond, you know, went out, actually bought a yielding stream up at Dick's, you know, for like $300. I call it the yielding stream. It was like, it was just a boat that you would...
Oh, I thought you were trying to say field and stream. I'm like, what?
No, it was a field and stream. It was a yielding stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like horrible, but I was fishing out of that, having fun.
Yeah.
Well, I had joined on to this thing called American Tackle's Pro Staff, basically how you can sign on to American Tackle right now. I rolled the dice with American Tackle because I like the red, white, and blue. I'm a veteran. I can totally dig that.
All right.
I filled out the application, and lo and behold, Austin Todd, the great Austin Todd, said, come aboard. We like what you do. I had no idea what they liked. I was like, okay. Well, what he liked was the fact that I was passionate about fishing and I was putting up a lot of positive posts. So I continued doing this, just having fun over the course of a couple years. That's when Austin Todd said, hey, we would like to invite you down to ICAST. Having no idea what ICAST was about. So, wow, that sounds like a great opportunity, a big fishing show. I love fishing shows. I mean, you should see the big one we got up here in Sharonville, Austin.
He's probably like, where?
You know, we got a few around here. I like this. Yeah, it'd be cool to go to the world's largest one. I'd love that opportunity, right? So when I ask what that's all about to some of the locals, they're like, their minds are blown. Like, dude, you got a ticket to that? That's amazing, you know? So... okay, here we are in a very special opportunity I'm suddenly aware of. I go down there, and the moment I walked into the doors of ICAST is the moment that I went, okay, hold on. You don't have to be Kevin Van Dam in this industry. If you like to fish, and if you like to make money, if you like to be creative, if you like to travel, here is, right now I'm 20 feet into the ICAST of 2019. I went, there are 10,000 opportunities right here to just do just anything I would really want to in the fishing industry. So I started walking around ICAST. I am just, the smile was showing on my face because it was just gravitational. You know,
it was the break-in period.
Oh my God. I get chills thinking about it right now, thinking about how, wow. So American Tackle, being in the center of ICAST, literally in the center, I didn't quite understand who they were and what they were built around and what they had been doing for a long time. I had no idea that they were, quote, pillars in the rod building industry. You know, they had been there since the mid-80s, which doesn't sound that long ago for a guy like me born in 1963, but that was a while ago. They've been there for a while, but the collective knowledge that they have in that business and what they're doing with the rod building components, the microwave component and the industry awards. I had no idea that there was already 5 pre-existing industry awards for that little microwave guide, and there was nothing else on the planet that held that many national awards and international awards, nothing else out there. And then they won another one that year for that microwave guide. So I was blessed by Angels of St. Mary of the Big Reel, or that just threw me into American Tackle and gave me that opportunity. So at that point in time, I came back and I turned the gears on. That's when I knew that if it's social media that they like, and it's social media that it was also obvious for me to see that everybody else needed down there too. There are so many social media opportunities down there. All of these upstart companies do not have the funding or the time or the creativity. They might know a lot about making rods, but they know nothing about creativity of getting out there and stuff. So that's when I turned the gears on. And by golly, behind the scenes, I was developing, you know, possibly what you said, a part of the team.
If what you're creating or what you're going down for is going to create another job? What if you do something down there that just is breakthrough? This is what I'm saying. Like, this is how, you know, I'm excited for you. Like, I see you being the type of guy that could go down there, break open, get your feet set in, and it just, they give you the reins and you build a couple jobs yourself because it's grown so much. And, you know, then John's executive of social media, like, dude, I can see you doing that.
There's no doubt in my mind that you got your creative marketing director. There's a position that's so busy. I mean, Kevin, right now, the moment that iCast 2022 stopped and the curtain fell, preparations for iCast 2023 began. Almost like the next week. So the marketing director, in a sense, doesn't have the time, nor possibly might not have the creativity part of it down to where you can create the social content and be comfortable with the social content and keep it up, because that in itself is a daily thing.
I want to say something. Before you even knew that you had this, every time that you and I would talk, or you would explain on this, your podcast here, that you would always talk about them by name. Okay, you did this. You've done it ever since I've known you, to be honest with you. It just goes to show that if you're gonna really be into something and want it that bad, and want that magical thing to happen, have your shit in line and know what you're talking about, who you're talking to, because I don't know them. I don't know them, but you do by name, and it's pretty respectful, pretty awesome to know that they got someone that's already coming in there that knows them all by first name. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who else?
Family, a real family bond. You know, even if it's as busy as iCast was, which is really the only time that we do get together, even at the pro staff fun night out at Top Golf, there's so much going on. And
I'm not missing it. I'm so over it.
That's going to be, I think from now on, it's really going to be bigger and better than it ever has before.
You think they'll ever have to move to a bigger facility? I don't know how big the one is that they're in.
No, they'll be there for a while. That's a brand new facility that's their retail space up front, office space, logisticals, warehouse. It's a pretty impressive building. It is amazing.
What if you end up having your own booth inside their big, massive booth, or a little to the side that's like... Wouldn't it be? I just see things getting broad for you, man. I'm looking. You're a bright star for them.
I'm excited here to get to, because this is a big step for me. Okay, so I gotta have all my P's and Q's. Why did they say that?
What?
You gotta have all your P's and Q's.
Why did they say lollygag? What's that?
Well, I can't do any of that.
I don't understand what
lollygagging is. Just like kicking back and
being lazy.
Much. Yeah.
P's and Q's.
Ain't no lollygagging. Make sure you mind your P's and Q's.
P's and Q's.
Okay, well, whatever that means is what I'm going to have to do. Stepping up to that.
And man, I am gonna be Captain Moe's first mate. I'm gonna be, he's gonna be skipper, I'm gonna be Gilligan.
No, you didn't.
Right? Yeah.
Did you just go there?
I just went there.
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna be Gilligan.
It's that severe though.
Right.
Right. You're always getting yelled at, man. Gilligan. Yeah, let's switch off Gilligan. Gilligan always.
It'd be fun, up, dude. Captain Moe. It'd be fun to get yelled at by Captain Moe. So watch. I don't think the man is there's a cell in his body that could yell. I don't know about Kevin though. I bet Kevin's very stern. He comes from the gun.
Of what?
Side of life.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And those guys are yellers. They're
they shoot from the hip.
They do. They're like Ben. Oh, yeah. That's what I like.
So John Wayne.
He is very John Wayne.
The Duke.
He even has kind of a ha ha when he goes. You know, when he starts walking? Right, right. So, yes, it's going to be great. So, having the opportunity to work between those two guys.
Sure.
In whatever that position, I think it's going to be molding itself in a way.
Yeah, you're going to be able to bounce
I'm looking forward
off
to it.
They're going
to
put you. They're going to tune you in.
I want to learn everything.
Like a stolen moped, baby.
I want to absorb everything that happens in that building.
Speaking of a moped,
everything.
Not that you resemble a moped. I'm breaking totally off subject here. Which did you see the electric bike that Brian got?
Yes. Yes.
The thing's awesome.
Yes. Speaking of.
Strictly sales. Yes. What were you doing in 1970?
Right. Right. You weren't riding one of those.
No. Could you imagine? No. Oh, yeah. Somebody, they're going to have electric bikes that go 25 miles per hour.
Yeah. For 100 mile range.
Yeah.
Right. Lithium light, lithium ion batteries.
Dude.
So, OTR The Garage. Big shout out to Sean Jenkins. Prior developer Segway of Cincinnati. Sean brought all of those Segway tours to Cincinnati for years and years. I was blessed to have the opportunity to work with Sean for about 6 years. We trained thousands of people how to ride Segways, but Sean was the big believer in bringing electric bikes to Cincinnati.
Really?
And man, if you are looking for an electric bike, check out OTR The Garage right there at the corner of Columbia. Central Avenue and Vine Street, right there at the gateway to the OTR over the Rhine in Cincinnati, Ohio. There you go, Sean. Big shout out to you. I love Sean. He reminds me of Brian.
Really?
They're just demanding human beings when they walk into a place.
Mm-hmm.
Just by standing there. You can't help but to look at either one of them and go, dang, I'm glad he's my friend.
The electric bikes are pretty cool.
Yes. So
definitely awesome of him.
Right. So he can ride that back and forth to work.
I asked him, he said no.
Yeah.
Reed Hartman kind of scares him, which I kind of fall in his favor. Yeah. There's some crazy sumbitches there, dude.
Especially
getting 275 from like whatever that is, or whatever that intersection where that McDonald's is. That's a bad thing. And they even had to widen it out.
Yeah.
You just can't trust other people. That's why I don't ride motorcycles.
Yeah. That's very true.
But it's still
that's
cool
why
bike.
I don't ride motorcycles. To have something like that, man, out on the fun country road, riding it around.
You can haul your kayak with it.
You absolutely can. They got a lot of power.
They did have torque.
Right.
Like, I don't know how.
Did you ever see that electric bike I got out here? The A2B?
How's the drone going?
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to see some of that stuff because I know you've been playing with it.
I'm scared of it.
No, you're not.
You can't. Well, okay. Long story short, on this drone that you bring over, thank you. By the way, it's a fun one. It's the. It's called the Holy. It's got a great name on it. Holy something. I went Holy Jesus many times driving this thing out.
Name.
So,
tried to eat my family's face off.
I had to watch like an hour and 40 minute video breaking it down because the manual is worthless. It is, yeah. And the guy in the video is probably the only human being that's ever actually broke it down like that.
Yeah.
So I strongly advise you to watch the video if you get a hold of this thing, right? And if you're into drones, you know what I'm talking about when I say holy. I can't think of the other part of it.
Yeah.
But it's a nice drone. It's got the camera on it. I got it inside the house, seeming secure. Camera on it. Camera's got a, what you might call a
swivel?
Yeah, nice. What do they call them things?
Swivel lens, or maybe, I don't know what they call it.
They got a nice name to them, you know. So they came nice and smooth, you know.
Oh, okay.
And video capability, real high-end video capability. So I took this thing out and I had it going good about to about 6 feet right in front of me. And it's just, it was a beautiful thing. Had it calibrated. I don't know how I got it calibrated because it's almost impossible to do it. I was just messing around the way I was carrying it. Calibrated this thing. I got it up to about 6 feet. And I said, well, it's time to take this baby a little higher. And this thing has an elevation level you set, maximum, minimum, I believe. And then it has a location like a GPS. If that GPS signal is not on, once you go over that max elevation, which was set at 6 feet, it just takes off. And it did. And it just took off. And there's no way. And it was just, it was like me watching saying, bye-bye, I can do nothing about this. And it went over 60 feet of trees we have here. These trees are massively tall.
So it went over.
And it just went over, over. I could barely hear it crash. I was like, oh my gosh. The sun was just setting. I had maybe 7 minutes to go walking through the woods to look up and try to find this thing. It was useless.
Why 7 minutes?
Because the sun was down. It's dark. It just blended in with everything up there.
So it took a dirt nap, took a cold evening nap, and stayed outside.
It did.
Okay.
And it was stormy and windy the next morning, which I was regretting because I knew the rain was just pounding on it.
Right.
So the wind's blowing. I thought at that point, because I've lost arrows in trees before, I thought at that point, thinking, well, with the wind blowing a little bit, at least you got the opportunity for them to come down. I did think that.
Because I've lost arrows in trees before.
And rockets.
I just...
You know, because I've lost arrows in trees before.
I have. It's been sad. They go everywhere sometimes.
Shoot up into the air.
It depends on what you're shooting at.
They go all over. What, birds?
They gotta eat.
It's a little lonely.
Oh yeah, my god.
Yeah, anyways, yeah, you lost it, but you found it?
It did, man. So I walked out there. I looked up for probably 25 or 30 minutes. And it was quiet, very peaceful. Rain stripping off of some of the trees, you know, the wind would slightly blow it, and some rain would drop down on you. It was just like kind of really nice. And I got to thinking about, ironically, I got to think as I'm trancing around the woods there, some of my Native American friends, and one in particular by the name of Manny Lightnings. His name's Emmett Eastman. He's an amazing Sioux spiritual leader. And I thought about Emmett, and I'm thinking, man, because I'm getting kind of upset that I lost the... I'm thinking, I lost this thing.
Yeah, right.
And I'm kind of bummed out, right? And I heard Emmett say, you know, Johnny, sometimes you just have to stop looking for things to find other things.
That's why your text said that. And I was like, what?
That's why my text said that.
What does that even mean?
Sometimes you have to just stop looking for things to find other things. Or even to come back and to find those things. Stop looking for
them. Like the phone that you're looking for that you're talking on sometimes. Yes. I know everybody's done that.
Right. Like, where's my glasses? Oh, they're on my head.
They're on my face.
Right here. I'm looking right through them. So I stopped looking. And the moment I stopped looking to look for other things, which I was in a creek bed, and I'm thinking, you know what? There's a lot of Native American history that flows through this area. I mean, just down below Round Bottom Road, there was 180,000 Indians that lived in, Hopewell Indians that lived in.
Is that why they call it Indian Hill?
Yes, that's very much why they call it Indian Hill. I don't really Indian Hill, Newtonian Indians, Newtown. Yeah. Hmm. So these were all Hopewell mounded building Indians. You can find pipes and...
Really? I didn't know that.
This goes back 10,000 years. You know,
so people probably arrowhead hunt all the time around here.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Bottom of this wolf pen is excellent for that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Right? So, and there's burial mounds throughout Route 50 and other places. So I'm thinking of that, and I'm looking down in the creek bed, and I look up. By golly, there it is. It's laying upside down in the creek. I mean, it went that fast.
It made it.
It was right there. So the wind had blown it out of the tree. Now, the reason I had to believe that it was in a tree, because it, I could see on my phone, the app, the acorn tree, the acorn leaves.
Oh, when you was looking at
actually, they were locust tree leaves. I could see because it was planted up in the top of this locust tree.
Right.
And I could see the leaves coming off the video. So that's where I knew it was on top of a tree. I'm sure at the middle of the night it got blown down. Just fell straight down the creek and there it is.
There you go.
And operational, but I ain't touching it with a 10-foot pole.
Huh?
Like you said, it honed in. It's got video facial recognition. You probably had that. It recognized something out of your photo library and attacked your daughter.
Dude, it did. It came right for her face.
It went at her
face. It wasn't stopping. That's why I just stuck my hand out. I smacked it. I'm like, oh, four props. I mean, it chewed my hand up. It didn't break skin, but I mean, it sucked. It wasn't warm out. It was cold.
It was like a Navy switchblade like, coming right. down on.
It's laying on its back like a pissed off beetle, like, I'm like, what is up with this?
Yeah.
Damn China drone, man.
Facial recognition, it'll take you out. But it's got a really a lot of neat stuff. Facial recognize, you can send it up to about, you know, 100 feet, and it will follow you and your kayak across the water. Yeah, so Kurt Schmidt's that, got that stuff down.
Yeah, I didn't make it to that step. I wanted to, but I didn't. I had trust issues after dangerous. It, you know, tried to Shanghai.
It's dangerous.
My fam, my familia, and Mikasa. That was stupid.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, that's have it. A drink.
Good job. Smart water.
Doesn't work.
No.
Quench the thirst.
You know, public service announcement, you should probably really dehydrate yourself. Even though the temperatures are falling, don't forget not to, hydrate. Hydrate or die. This is a massive headache. Man, if you start getting low in energy and headache, that's almost your first culprit right
water.
There.
Yeah.
Water.
Water does.
I don't know. I've had a headache all day. What you been drinking? I got an 8.5 Diet Pepsi. No, that don't work. You need water.
Your kidneys are... They're,
stop they're, drinking sodas.
Yeah, they're, right they now. Need some filtration, bud.
Stop drinking.
Sodas
are... Whoever we're talking to right awful. Now. You got a soda coming up to your mouth right now. Get that.
I will say that every once in a while I get the guilty pleasure of a fountain Coke. It's got to be a good one, though. If I'm a,
man, like that's hit or miss.
Chick-fil-A, that's money, dude.
They got it dialed in.
Yes.
I will have to say this. So I've dropped all my sodas.
Yeah.
I just don't do them. I'll do a sweet tea. However, on those long deliveries, kayak deliveries up into the great northeast of the continental United States, I love those coffee Coca-Cola blended drinks.
Those are nasty.
I absolutely love them.
You probably like clear Pepsi too, didn't you?
No,
do you remember those?
Yes.
When they changed the color of the cans and whatnot?
Yeah, why are you doing that?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Ooh, let's go ahead and trick them. Let's take it from dark to light.
Yeah, see. Taking out the nasty stuff. Because we were all up into food dyes and stuff when there.
Oh, yeah.
Not caring about all the other stuff.
That's I don't drink tea, though. You won't find pop in your house.
Pop's so damaging to you, so stop drinking it.
Yeah.
We should all start eating, especially kayakers.
Yeah,
that's so easy.
It's important to have water. It really, it truly is, because your mind starts playing tricks on you. You get hot. It's not good.
I get pissed off and don't want to toss lures.
No, dude.
I get tired.
You lose motor skills.
Just
your mind starts to get lazy.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Right.
And you just don't think right. Take care of your body.
That boy ain't catching no fish. He ain't thinking right.
And you got this little young buck, older buck over beside you just making waves, just moving, fishing, covering water, doing whatever.
Standing up on his old town.
That boy's had 10 monsters. No, he drinks water, sir.
No doubt. All those monster energy drinks.
Those things are piss magnets.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the few months that I drank those, trying to figure them out and dial those things in, they'll take me up for about maybe 2.5 hours, and then I'm crashing.
It's a hard crash.
It's a horrible hard crash.
Red Bulls suck.
Why?
I can't
Why
believe they even make Red Bulls still. Like, I don't like Red Bull. I like how they stuck to just sugar, what, no sugar. I think they got, I don't know, one or two more, but anyone that's ever had a cocktail with Red Bull, it's awful.
Oh, yeah. I've done that a couple times.
Yeah, like I can't even get past the smell. Oh. Nope.
I'm glad I'm almost 60.
Right?
I tried to convince myself many nights to be an alcoholic. I just, body wouldn't say, no, dude, you can't do it.
Wouldn't get in.
Awesome. Well, what else, man? Anything new?
No.
Anything that's good? Next week?
Flowing. Yeah, CKF. We got the flowing, yeah. And then after that is 100 mile, which we went from 150 to 100. I didn't know we did that.
I thought those were the same. Okay, so cool.
So yeah, they changed. So, but anyways, we need to get the, just in case that I forget, the length, minimum length, and fish quantity
for the flowing river,
because it's not on there.
Okay.
So, other than that,
it's not on there. I wonder if it's going to be 8 inches.
St. Clair was a beast again. Bert and
you caught some big fish.
Bert and I went up there, and
was Bert on fire?
He went.
Did his Bert back?
I think Bert's back, because I saw he did pretty good. I was going to call him on my way over here, but I think he did pretty good in the BKA yesterday.
We're going to have to start calling him Bert is back rack.
Oh, Hammer and Bert.
Nice.
He went up. He and I went up to St. Clair.
Yes.
Just caught.
What's it like? Catching just a big, fat, massive, mean, and nasty, hates you.
The first, I think it was the first, it's like my new PB. Lengthwise up there, it's like 20 and a half, I think.
God, it's amazing.
It rocketed. I was standing up, which I never stand up. My GoPro was on behind me, and I'm like, because the water was kind of smooth. It wasn't, it wasn't crazy. And he was to my left, like over my left shoulder behind me, and this thing shot up like a Mako shark out of the water. And my GoPro, you can see, like, it went up to the level of my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And he and I were just like, what? And it was like a post-spawn 4-pound smallmouth.
Right.
Just incredible. It's so fun.
You got video of that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You can't see the smallie all in frame, but you can tell when it lands.
Yes.
It's a big, it's like someone threw a giant boulder in the water.
Oh my gosh.
It's awesome. I'll have to send it to you and show you.
Yeah.
I'm still working on it, but the place is magical.
Yeah.
I want to go back up one more time, but I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it happen, but we'll see.
So you were just up there jacking around?
Last weekend, yeah. I was just fun fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, how many
didn't find the big ones until late second day, mid-second day. And then the wind started picking up, and it got kind of cold because it was kind of misting a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Michigan.
Right.
Canada.
Fishing.
Didn't take any rain gear with me because it wasn't supposed to do it. I got my ass out of there. I wasn't going to freeze.
Right.
That wind doesn't just lightly blow.
Yeah, no.
You'll freeze.
Oh, it's on you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the clouds took over, and smallmouth hate clouds. So I was like, you know what?
Why do they hate clouds?
I don't know. You know
just
what?
Just don't. They
I'm
like...
figuring it out. I hear it a lot, and I'm figuring it out because they eat considerably less when it's cloudy. For me.
Hunker down. Just...
Yeah. They more or less... Smallmouth are picky, man. They truly are, and like they got, they're by far the funnest freshwater species I think we have for sport fish.
Yeah.
Consistent wise, but they just get moody. Like, they'll ball down to it, and then they'll either chase it back, and it's like, but they'll never eat it for some reason.
Right.
And it's like so abnormal for a smallmouth because they have their minds made up like that. For them to follow something, it's something's off. They don't do that too often.
Right.
You know, they kill it. They want to kill it. They have to. They're like pit bulls without legs.
Right. You ain't got time to jack around, look at the menu. Somebody else going to come in and swoop down on your nachos.
They want to go kill it.
Right.
That's how they think. But the clouds, I don't know. But it's just something about them. I've noticed.
I have to get out there and fish. Because I certainly hooked into a nice
little... Especially before you go to Florida, man. Oh, yeah. That's where Don is from. He's from Michigan.
Yeah. But... So, yeah. So, looking at... On the Florida move side, man, definitely nothing cheap down there as far as Airbnb and partial or a rental for a permanent or like a temporary basis.
Yeah, we talked
so,
about that.
Man, I don't know. Probably just gonna buy a little bungalow down there and live in it, make it comfortable. Lisa takes care of the ranch up here and gets it sold, and she moves down. She's already got her eyeballs on a couple pretty amazing looking homes down there that are in that area, and I'm glad she's really just thrilled about it, you know, so it makes it easier.
Good deal, man. Makes it easier.
Yeah, so, but yeah, bringing it to a close here, this is what has been hitting me harder was how terribly much I will miss everybody.
Yeah, you made a lot of friends, dude. And I always said that I never knew you until after COVID, but I always knew that it'd be a cool connection to know you. Now, you're going to miss. You'll be missed, man.
It's going to be rough. It will be rough. That will be because my family is what my family is.
Sure.
You know, we're kind of spread all over the place, and we've had our times too.
Sure.
Time to get away, but man, this has been my very, very tight, almost on a daily basis. Somebody, you know, whether it's Zach, whether it's you, whether it's Brian, whether it's Kurt, whether it's Bert, whether it's anybody, Melissa, Sean, the podcast.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Back and forth.
You know, we'll all be rooting and cheering for you and pulling for you, man, to make sure that you're doing and growing. We're going to watch you grow, and we know that you're going to take off with it, and just, it's going to be fun to sit back and watch what you create. It's going to be cool, man. So we're all pulling for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. Well, on that note, we need the jazz band. Kick it up, the jazz band, right now.
Here's, cool.
Cheers right there.
Cheers right there. Yeah.
Hey, lots of love, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to John Graves Kayak Fishing with special guests, the one and only
BDP.
BDP with Little Miami Outfitters. Man, I'll tell you what, that rod, spin casting rod that I pulled out of the drink.
Yeah,
and,
you just
looped
that,
up the reel.
You pulled that big video, the one you put on the video yesterday.
And did you hear it just peeling the line? And do you think you said I had that? You had it set.
There's the hook
perfect.
For you, baby. Just ask Skidmore.
It's perfect. Let it do the work.
That's all you gotta do.
Concentrate on the net. Getting
and that's a big thing I corrected this year. I was oversetting on a lot of my hook sets with that rod. And this year I dialed it.
Right.
You don't have to set it that hard.
No.
Especially if you're using braid to anything, you just can't break that leader you got tied on.
Right.
You've got to set the hook, but it doesn't have to. You don't have to try and pull their eyeballs out.
No.
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 Sharp hook goes a long way, baby.
Get in there, set it to the barb, man.
Long way.
Boom. You're good to go.
It's good.
Hey, thanks so much,
John.
Everybody, John Graves Kayak Fishing here with Brandon Palmer. We are over.
Out.
John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by Strictly Sailing Kayaks, located in Blue Ash, Ohio on Kenwood Road. They've been there since 1978. Check them out at strictlysailinc.com.
Folks, I don't know what you were doing in 1978. I can tell you I was probably getting ready to, I was entering high school. I was a freshman at Amelia High School. It's about when my education stopped. I was running a lot of cross country at that point in time. My third year of cross country, and really, really enjoying that. And thank God I had cross country in my life because it did keep me out of a bunch of trouble I'm sure I would have got in. It was very healthy for me. But I will tell you right now, kids, there is absolutely zero money in cross country. The chances of you putting money in the bank
are very, very, very slim. So, but it is a fun sport. Don't expect the drill team to show up. It's not like on Spirit Friday that they even really mentioned the cross-country team. It is one of the most brutal and demanding sports in high school, bar none, because I've done all of them. But I'll tell you, there was a guy out in Blue Ash, Ohio, by the name of Steve Tacy. And he thought it would be a really good idea to start selling sailboats in this parking lot there. Now, mind you, Cincinnati's not known for sailing, but there are surrounding big water lakes in the area. Rocky Fork, a couple out in Indiana. Of course, we got the Ohio River. We do have Lake Erie up north and other places, but there's not that many spots where you can actually do some sailing. It's not like Cincinnati's a coastal town. So Steve Tacy thought it would be a really good idea to like start selling sailboats, you know. And by golly, Steve Tacy is still there selling sailboats. Now, some of us have gone to do this, gone to do that. We've changed things here and there. We've switched careers. We've moved. But Steve Tacy is still there selling sailboats. And I think that says a lot about many, many things of a small family-owned business. They have persevered through all of it. So you know that their customer service is spot on. Their delivery of their goods is spot on. How they help you out. Their selection is all spot on. So not only do they sell sailboats in Blue Ash, Ohio, on that same parking lot, but they now sell kayaks. They have, without a doubt, one of the largest selections of kayaks known to man. And you can check them out at strictlysailinc.com. Go on there, check out all of everything they have. They even deliver. So keep that in mind, but give Brian, give Tyler, give old man Steve a call. They are there to help you out, and some of the best, without a doubt, there is out there right now in small family businesses. That is Strictly Sail and Kayaks. Just Google it, man. That's all you need to do. Strictly Sail and Kayaks. They've been there since 1978. What were you doing in 1978?